Are you a sheep? No. You're a dragon. Be a dragon.
This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Hearing, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, my name is Monica, and with me today again this week is my lovely, hilarious, amazing, glorious, beautiful, ridiculously charming, amazing co-host, Amanda.
I really like that you were just at a loss of words there.
I am. It's like, your glory can't be put into words properly.
Oh my goodness, you are actually making me blush. I can feel my cheeks getting redder.
Then mission accomplished.
Thank you so much for that stupendous introduction.
See, you're the writer. I don't have those words.
But you had a lot of other ones.
I do my best, but they're all the same. I feel like I'm very uncreative sometimes, but whatever. So how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
All good in the hood.
What have you been geeking out about this week?
I was just thinking about that. I don't really recall what geeky things I did this week. I am very much on a cleaning roll. So what I do constantly at the moment is getting rid of shit. You can call that geeky, maybe, but not 100% sure.
I'll definitely call it geeky.
I mean, I do Maria Kondo my shit. So basically that's pretty geeky, folding my shirts and stuff.
Definitely. I just discovered putting your shirts in a drawer sideways so you can just...
Yeah.
And it's super cool. I really like it. I wish I'd done it years ago.
You can do it now. Like, do what I did. Am. Get rid of 90% of your things and reorganize your drawers.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
You would be surprised how little space you need. It's weird. Mm-hmm. I like it. I did that with all my towels on the weekend. Oh, nice. So, yeah.
That's something. We haven't even looked in our linen closet. Well, I look in it and I am a little bit afraid of it. And then I close the door again.
I understand you. It's the worst. I don't know why it always gets to be the worst, the linen closet. But it was already bugging me, so I got rid of almost everything in there. How many towels do two people need? Not that many.
I feel you on that one.
Yeah. What have you been up to? You have to lift our geekiness today because I
failed. Good thing I have been very multi-geeky this week.
Awesome. Tell us more.
Okay. I have been totally obsessed with playing my Super Nintendo emulator. So I've played through Super Mario 3 Ooh. And 1 and Super Mario World, and I even played a little bit of Super Mario 2, but I realized I remembered how much I really didn't like it back then, and it's hard to play on the controller that I have. And I've played through Donkey Kong 1 and half of 2, and last night I discovered that the Scooby-Doo game is on the emulator, and that game was awesome, so I started playing that last night.
Really? You've been very busy gaming.
Yeah, just playing some SNES. I've also gotten back into Elder Scrolls Online. So you think, I have been playing a lot of SNES. I've also put at least 10 hours into Elder Scrolls Online. And the other night, I started reading Robin Hobb's trilogy, The Soldier's Son.
That face, though, people, that face.
It's not so far. I've only made it two chapters in because I keep falling asleep. So I'm not saying that that's I don't know. It's too early to tell. And obviously I have very high standards over my Robin Hobb books. So we'll see. It's not quite what I expected so far, but it's early days. Like I say, we're only two chapters in. So hopefully my geekiness this week has made up for your Marie Kondo-ness.
Oh, yeah. I think you pulled us out of the dumpsters. that I put us in. Awesome. I'm curious, though, what you're going to say about the book afterwards. I haven't started
it. I am, too.
Is it fantasy?
It is, yeah. Okay. And I had thought that it was in the same realm as Fitz and the Fool, just like a different area. But so far, I'm not sure if it is because it seems really different.
Okay.
Time will tell.
Time will tell. And you will tell us.
I will.
So what are we talking about this week?
Well, we are a week late with this, but, you know, Endgame couldn't wait.
Hashtag priorities.
So yeah, right. So this week is Geek Girl in the News from April 2019.
Woo!
Woo!
We've missed you.
Yeah, my favorite episode. A lot of these stories are still very relevant.
It's going to be an awesome episode. That's what it's going to be, period. Yeah,
that's what we're saying.
Exactly.
So I'm going to intro the first story here because it's quite relevant to my last weekend. The new Tomb Raider film starring Alicia Vikander, the second one, has recently announced that they have hired Amy Jump to write the script for the second one. So yay, female writers.
Woo!
And I say this is relevant because I actually just last weekend watched the first reboot of the Tomb Raider films. And it wasn't as bad as I was expecting, so that's good.
Why did you expect it to be bad?
Well, because reboots are always a bit like, hit or miss. And I hadn't really heard anything good about it.
But people still watch Terminator after ages and ages and ages and ages.
I know, but this is just like another retelling of like Angelina Jolie's Tomb Raider.
I saw the story is the same.
It's a different story, but it's still like a Lara Croft origin story.
Okay. Okay, I see where you're getting at.
But it was actually quite enjoyable, and I'm obviously a huge fan of Tomb Raider and Lara Croft. So, yeah, I didn't go in with high expectations, and I came out, and I really, like, it was an enjoyable film. So I'm excited for the next one to see what Amy Jump is going to be doing for it.
Especially since, I mean, as we all know, I have never played a Tomb Raider game, which, again, I'm sorry. But Amy Jump apparently also wrote for other movies that our MVP Brie Larson has been starring in. How cool is that?
Very cool. And I do want to point out as well, just because everything is full circle in the Geek Girl world, that the first Tomb Raider movie was written by Geneva Robertson-Dworit, who wrote Captain Marvel, or who was on the writing team for Captain Marvel.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Siri just started to talk to me again. With us. That's weird. Either it means that it's a very small world for female writers in Hollywood, which probably it also is, but it's also pretty cool somehow.
Yeah, I think it's both of those things. Like, it's really cool that we're seeing these names come up again and again, mm-hmm. but it's also, as we did talk about in our Captain Marvel episode, like the pool for female action writers specifically is quite small.
Mm. So that's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm really excited, actually, because the first Tomb Raider was written by Robertson-Dworit, and it was, like I say, it was a lot better than I was expecting, and that was before I knew that I had a female writer on the team. And now that I know that there's a female writer and a pretty rad actress playing Lara Croft, I'm getting my hopes up here for the second one, I have to say.
Let's just hope that it's not going to disappoint you.
Yeah, I hope not. But it's probably not going to come out until 2020, so there's a lot of time to have my hopes brought up and then brought back down and brought up and down.
By the way, on a side note, it's also newsworthy, but not an actual article, but they announced a new Fantastic Beasts movie when it's going to be in the cinemas, in the movies.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the excitement is low considering you didn't like the second one as much. Oh, yeah.
Who am I? Who is this Harry Potter fanatic sitting over here?
Like, at least I would have thought you would be more enthusiastic considering it's a Wizarding World franchise, even though you didn't like the second one, but it was like all down the dumpsters.
Yeah, I have to say it hasn't made me super excited. It was just one of those things that I saw the announcement. I was like, oh yeah, that's a thing that's happening.
I don't know. I feel we should all take a minute now of silence for Amanda's. I don't know. I don't even know what to say to this. Damn you, Johnny Depp, ruining it for us.
I don't even know if it was just the Johnny Depp thing. Like, the film just didn't do it for me.
I don't know if I can talk to you anymore.
I don't know if I can talk to myself. How do you think it feels to be me right now?
That must be really, like, I can't even.
Yeah.
I even okay. Allowed to own all the Harry Potter books now? I don't know.
Let me go and burn my collection.
No, don't burn books. Who burns books burns people. So we're not burning books, especially not Harry Potter ones. But it's okay. A very sad, sad moment.
It is.
Anyway, let's hop over to something more delightful for you. But I honestly don't know if our next article is more delightful.
No, our next article is a wee bit shit, isn't it? Our next article was submitted by Frazzly from the podcast Be Great Today in Frazzlecast. So I know that probably every single person listening to this podcast has seen an image floating around the internet from earlier in April about the amazing, awesome, overblown black hole picture that we have finally found.
Or the Eye of Sauron. Sauron?
Yeah, when you really zoom in on it, it totally looks like the Eye of Sauron, doesn't it? Yeah.
And the amazing woman who was behind all this, besides many other people, obviously.
Yeah, obviously it took a huge team of people from around the world, and but it was one scientist in particular. She led one of the four teams, so she was one of the lead scientists who turned the data from all around the world on all the different hard drives into a picture. And it was actually her picture of her absolute and utter glee and excitement that broke the internet.
Also, and her story about this entire thing was also amazing because she basically decided to render a picture of a black hole when she was, what, in high school, really young. So she really went for her dream and for her goal and made it happen.
Yeah. So we're talking about none other than Katie Bowman, who you probably know the name because not only is her picture just the most adorable thing in the world, there was also a lot of backlash about her being the face behind this amazing scientific thing.
Which again shows us how dark the world sometimes can be and how ruthless the brainless trolls on the internet are when they feel safe in their own home behind their keyboard.
Yeah.
Because just as it happened to a lot of women in leading positions or in leading roles, the shitstorm didn't take long to rise.
It sure didn't. So let's talk about the kind of weird things, I guess, before we talk about the utter vitriol and hatred that came from this. So there was multiple Twitter accounts created pretending to be Katie Bowman. Now, Katie doesn't actually have a Twitter. She's only on Facebook. And this is something that, like, happens. You know, you only hang out in one place. Not like Geek Herring. And so, like, on the one hand, yes, it's a wee bit flattering that there's all these Twitter accounts made. However, they're all impersonating her. Like, taking credit for something that they didn't do. And, like, it's really weird, isn't it?
I generally think it's weird if you impersonate other people on social media.
100%.
I mean, some people, because it happened to a client of mine, it happens to her often right now, actually, it was really interesting, but they tried to use her for her pretty face for Bitcoin trading.
Oh, gosh.
But that's different because that's basically spam, right? Spam and bots mm-hmm. and shit. But if you try to get the fame of someone else, that's pretty weird as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really weird. And there's been multiple, like, fan accounts and fan pages set up on Facebook. And, like, there's so much good that's come out of this, but there's almost also so much weirdness. And, yes, I was very active in reporting all those false Katie Bowman Twitter profiles. I was like, nope, not her. Nope, not her.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
So basically her haters are saying is that she actually doesn't deserve the fame somehow, that she didn't do the work, that all the other people did the work, but she, not her.
Yeah, basically, like, they're saying all these trolls and men, mostly men, are saying that, you know, it wasn't her that wrote any of this code. She's taking credit for the code that was written by a man. Her Wikipedia profile was marked for deletion. And yeah, just that it was a man who wrote the code. And the man, like, in question, he stood up and he said, like, no, it was Katie's code that led to us finding this.
But it still continued because people are sometimes really big idiots.
Mm-hmm. The biggest idiots.
You also gathered a Twitter feed of all the grossness that's going on. And it's pretty sad to see how people can be bothered so much by a woman taking credit for something. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever gave a shit if men take credit for the work of other people. But this time, it's not as if she didn't deserve it, as if she didn't do anything to deserve it, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Even if we take it in business terms, like, how many CEOs and how many managers of companies actually did the thing that all the employees did? And that's not me saying that she didn't do the work, but what I'm saying is, as a team, the leader takes the team credit for it. That's the head of the team. And it doesn't matter how much involvement there was. That's just sometimes normal standard. And it's not even the case that displayed all of the people involved in this. So it was not that she alone got all the credit and nobody else did. And it was ignored that there were so many people working on that thing. But she was the leading scientist in that. And obviously her face was on everything, because also that image was the best thing ever. That was a moment of a dream come true that was captured on an image. And people are shitting on that parade, which is so pathetic.
They actually made a false Instagram account for the other scientist as well. His name was Andrew Chail. And they're saying, like, that he wrote 850,000 of the 900,000 lines of code. And then the fake Katie Bowman account is commenting, like, or Andrew wrote the Python algorithm that manipulates the data to produce the images. In other words, he wrote the code and helped me to produce the first ever black hole image. And then somebody replied to that and said, and you still friend zoned him, which, like, you know, my feelings about friend zoning. So I'm like, And somebody else is like, you and your team deserve way more credit than you're getting. Somebody else, the credit must go to him then. And then somebody actually applauding her for being her, in quotation marks, because obviously it's a fake account. But somebody else saying, you're an inspiration for female computer scientists and developers. Thank you.
What the fuck is wrong with people?
I don't know. I just don't know.
But what we're trying to say is, with that, bringing that to everyone's attention again, first of all, don't be an asshole. That's, like, number one on top of our list. But also, I feel it's a big testament again, or it displays perfectly again, how much women have to fight in their life sometimes to get the credit that they deserve. Because nobody would have even cared if she were a guy. Like, that wouldn't have been that big of a shitstorm, I'm pretty sure. I'm fairly convinced. I mean, yeah, probably they would have been like, yeah, but I'm sure you had a team, blah, blah, blah. But nobody would have questioned the knowledge and the skill of that man, whereas everyone questions if she deserves the fame and if she really did the work, or because she can't have done that. And that's just one of many times in life where women have to justify themselves and their skills.
Mm-hmm. As we always say, and really, like, when we get one of those recorders, we can just press the button that's going to say, recognized for work, not for gender.
You mean we get this audio file that we take with us? Beep.
Yeah, and just, like, press the button. Soundboard, whatever.
Soundboard, yeah. That's the name.
Maybe that should be our first Patreon goal.
Soundboard? I would love that. That would be awesome. Yeah.
It'd be awesome, right?
Cool. So people, acknowledge women's achievements. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, don't question them. Celebrate them.
Celebrate them. And basically celebrate collaboration.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
Cool. Moving on.
To another article submitted by Frasley.
Frasley's been on the roll recently. I love it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Frasley.
So this one's a weird one about Blizzard. The Blizzard Entertainment, the company behind games such as World of Warcraft and Overwatch.
Don't know if you've heard.
So basically, Blizzard are bribing, I guess is probably the right word, their female employees to track their sex, pregnancy, and moods with an app. And they're bribing them by giving them bonuses. Financial incentives.
Maybe we need to call it incentivize, because bribing is a rough word.
Yeah, I guess.
It's very catchy, at least.
But, like, it's very strange, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely strange. I'm not trying to make that into a positive, what's happening, but I'm just trying to maybe not call it bribing, because it's still incentivizing. But that also, it gets different. It's difficult in a work environment to even to incentivize, I feel. But let's get to the point, what we're even talking about.
Yeah, so Blizzard are encouraging their female employees to install an app called Ovia, which tracks their reproductive activity. So when they have sex, how their pregnancy is doing, what their mood's like, and even what's their cervical fluid looking like, you know? All these things that, like, a lot of women, to be fair, a lot of women do track this stuff on various apps, just to keep, it's a normal thing to keep track of. And now that there's apps to do it, it makes life so much easier than keeping a written diary. Am I right?
Yes.
But sharing this information with your employer seems like it's overstepping a certain, you know, boundary.
The thing is that they're not officially sharing it with Blizzard, but I feel Ovia is one of... Because there are a ton of apps out there who does that tracking, as you just mentioned. But apparently, Ovia has already been in the news if they're going to share that or not with employers. So that's the main issue. And why would you incentivize your employees to track something with a specific app if you don't get benefit from them using that specific app? Because otherwise, I could just say, to be more healthy, you can track everything and you can do that in whatever app you want, because let's be honest, there are a shit ton of them out there. But instead they say, use Ovia, which is weird.
And they bribe these employees with gift cards. Sorry, incentivize these employees with gift cards. And I don't know, like, it's a fine line for me. I'm kind of like, well, what gift cards are they? I mean, I'm tracking this anyways. What harm could it do to share this information with my employer? But then I'm like, why does my employer want to know what is going on?
My question is, do they just say, here you get a cookie and you track and we don't care? You just have to let us know that you do it. Or does it mean you're getting the gift card, here you have a cookie, and give us all your data about it? Because I mean, that doesn't mean that A includes B in general, but are they that open about it that they're saying, we want to have all the data? Or are they just trying to move you there and then get the data through the back door, basically?
Yeah, Activision Blizzard Vice President of Global Benefits, Milt Ezard, says that his employees are actually cool with it, and that at the bottom line, this initiative is out of genuine concern. He says, I want them to have a healthy baby because it's great for our business experience. Rather than having a baby who's in the neonatal ICU where she's not able to focus much on work.
Which is the most ridiculous thing that one can say, because no app can prevent the baby from going into the neonatal ICU or it being happy and healthier because the mother used an app.
For sure. And there's also, like, tracking pregnancy before, like, I don't know, if I were pregnant, I'm not pregnant, but if I were to get pregnant, obviously, like, I would tell my app before I would tell a lot of things, right?
Your app will, like, probably know before you.
Exactly. The app would know. And like usually, I don't know, I don't plan on getting pregnant, right? And I haven't been through a pregnancy and I haven't been through a pregnancy while employed. But as far as I know, like if you're pregnant, you normally wait until like the 3 month mark to let your employer know, you know, just, I think that's what it is. Maybe that's just traditional and that's not the truth. I have no idea. But I'm like, okay, so are they going to use this information and knowledge of their female staff getting pregnant as a way of not having to hire female staff because they get pregnant and go off on maternity?
That's a whole different story, basically. Also, Blizzard is an American company. We're talking about maternity leaves of what, 2 or 3 months tops?
Weeks.
So to what you said before, generally the first trimester is the one where your pregnancy is the most likely to end on its own, let's just call it that. So the risks are really high around 12 to 14 weeks that you will lose the baby. So that might be a reason for people to wait to at least until that 3 months mark. We, however, would need to inform our employer as soon as we know it. So as soon as you would know that you're pregnant, you would need to tell your employer that you are. But that's Austrian law. So I don't know how that rolls in the Americas or in the UK, but I think that's fairly different for every country. And yes, so many questions to this.
Okay, I'm actually reading a further article about this. So Blizzard are paying $1 a day in gift cards to every employee using it. So they're like, say that's 30 days. So $30 a month in a gift card.
But then they need to have more information, because how would they know if they're using the app or not unless they do get data? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they say that the access some of the data in an anonymized aggregated format, including average time it took for employees to get pregnant, percentage of high-risk pregnancies, C-sections or premature births, and how long it took new mothers to return to work.
What the fuck?
And apparently this is a way to help lower medical costs and increase productivity, because this information could potentially be more likely to for women to help conceive without expensive infertility treatments that the company would have to pay for, and less likely to require costly premature births or C-sections, which in the US can run to in excess of $1 billion.
I am pretty much speechless right now. What the fuck?
From a business and like health insurance point of view, okay, yes, I can kind of see why you would want this information, but at the same time, I am like,
but also, what does that mean, right? Do they then yeah, it is more what the fuck than you. I don't think I can, no, I can't understand it, because that means then what? That they only hire women who do, because even if they do enter the data, right? What do they do after they track data from a female employee for 3 months and then they notice that whatever she's entering in there is out of average for, or would already indicate that she will have a, whenever she gets pregnant, because that doesn't mean that this woman could not get pregnant, might not be pregnant for the next, what, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, depending on how old she is. And then what, they already see that she's striving, that she's off that average line, and then they're going to fire her? Mm-hmm. Or what? Because how are they going to prevent that from happening? Because not always is infertility due to whatever natural cause. Some people just really have a hard time getting pregnant.
Yeah, and no amount of tracking is going to help that.
Yeah.
So Ezard actually says, and I don't know how exactly he's going to come to this figure, but that for the women that are tracking, they're saving $1,200 per employee in annual medical costs.
I don't know, man.
I'm just having trouble seeing the link between the two. Like, how can you directly correlate that data? I'm not a scientist, but I just don't.
I mean, if you add other things to it, because yeah, one could say that people who track their stats get more and more aware of things, and that's why they take more interest in something, and that's why they start to take more care of something. So if someone starts to track all of that stuff, and then maybe the app notifies that to prevent X, Y, and Z. You can do 1, 2, 3, for example. That will in general then make them more aware and more conscious and more preventative somehow of things. Like with a step counts, for example, those are already people use that kind of stuff if they try and achieve something. Like if you're not aware of your health and if you don't care about your health, then you wouldn't track your stats, I would assume.
Sure, I totally agree with that. But then why does the company need to have access to that data? How does it help? That's the question, isn't it? Yes, encourage your employees to track this, but why do you need to see it?
That's never something I can argument for the positive. I don't know. I find it hardcore, but that's basically why you stated it in our show notes that that's also something that Frasley was thinking about. That's why I personally do have issues in general with every kind of health tracking somehow, because companies can and will use it against you at some point. Insurances can and probably will use it against you at some point that you have tracked all your steps for so long, or that you haven't reached your step goal as you should to be healthy enough, and then charge you higher rates for your health insurance, etc.
I feel personally attacked right now, Monica.
No, I'm not attacking you personally. I do have my Fitbit. It's hanging on my cardboard there, and it hasn't been on in months and months and months. But I'm very often very torn about stuff like this because I'm so excited to be able to see things like this. But I'm also aware that it could potentially be problematic for me on the long run. Mm-hmm. And I do think that companies, I mean, as we see right here in Blizzard, doesn't matter what they're going through at the moment with whatever shit is happening. But you wouldn't imagine it now that Blizzard was that kind of company where you would not be surprised that it's happening. Mm-hmm. So you would think that they're like a game development company and it's more modern and newer and like
cutting edge technology.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what do you think, listeners? Actually, I would really like your opinion on this. Would you share your reproductive information with your employers? Let us know about that.
Also, what I'm wondering is, are they not tracking guys? Obviously, they're not tracking guys, but bad sperm is a thing too.
For sure. But I think that the only way to tell that is for them to give monthly samples.
Yeah, but or track their general, like how much cigarettes do they smoke a day? How much alcohol do they drink a day? How long do they ride their bike a day? That's all stuff that influences the sperm production and quality. How often do they sit on their bums doing nothing but whatever, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
That can create slow swimmers.
You make a very good point, Monica. Yeah. I don't know. Don't know how I feel about this. And I also don't know how I feel about the fact that the app that I use actually to track my reproductive health had its data shared with Facebook earlier this year. Why does Facebook need to know about that?
What?
But that's a whole other story. And I'm like, maybe I'm switching apps. I don't know.
I don't know if that's solving the problem. Oh, really? Did you know or did you just find out because you
just found out like right now? Yeah. So maybe I am going back to tracking in a diary.
Jeez. Well,
like, come on, Facebook. You know a lot about me. You don't need to know about that.
Well, now they do.
Apparently. And also I'm like, well, if you know this, why are you giving me pregnancy ads?
Moving on.
And I think we're going to move on to some better news. We've dealt with the the weird stuff and the kind of downers, but now it's all up from here.
Yay. Pete from Project Phoenix Gaming shared with us the top 100 women, influential women working in the UK games industry.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Who would have thought that there would be that many?
Well, there's way more. Yeah.
The list that was shared with us is basically dated back to 2014. And since that time, so 5 years almost, they already have covered like 500 emails and 450 women have been nominated. So basically that's a rising number, which is pretty awesome.
In 2014, when they first ran this survey, there was a clear 100 women who came out on top. But 5 years later, when they're running the survey now, there wasn't, because they had so many emails and so many nominations that there was over 300 of the nominations that were considered to be awesome enough to be in the top 100. So they actually had to get a judging panel to come out.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. That's fucking rad. Like, in 5 years, there has been such a jump in amazing, influential women across game development. Like, yeah.
I also find it great because it feel having a judging panel gives it importance, you know? So it's important enough for people to have a judging panel. I don't know. I feel it raises the bar again if you have a judging panel.
It totally does. And they picked the judging panel from previous games industry winners, both women and men. So they are like people who are top of their class anyways, already, I should say. And they're passing it on to the next generation, I guess, of the list.
I feel that's an amazing development in recognition. Kind of to go back to what we said in the, like with Katie Bowman. Said her name.
Yeah.
Katie Bowman. Sorry. That not enough people or not enough women are visible or seen. I feel by having that panel and by giving it more and more attention, that's basically what it is doing. Mm-hmm. So go you, UK.
Yeah. Whew. So we're not going to go through these 100 women, because that's a lot of women and we're actually running towards the end of this show, but we will put this link in the show notes along with all the others, and definitely, definitely, definitely take some time to scroll through and learn about some of the amazing and rad women in game development in the UK.
I agree. We need more of you.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome.
So next up, we're actually going to skip over the pond to some American politics. Our awesome listener, Flame Flash, has shared with us an article about the newly elected mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, is the first Black woman to be mayor of the city.
But not only is she the first Black woman, she's the first Black woman and the first openly gay person to hold that post.
That's pretty awesome.
And the final two candidates, they were both two Black women. So imagine a few years ago, that wouldn't have not been possible at all. And now to have two Black women, like in the final round, and then also a Black woman and a Black and an openly gay woman winning the mayor's post for Chicago, which is not a small city, I might add. That's pretty freaking amazing.
For sure, especially because Chicago has a very large African-American population, with 33% from, and that was from the 2010 census data. So that's probably gone up in the last 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a huge proportion of a population, you know, being Black, especially because it's quite a multicultural city.
That's awesome.
So good job, Chicago. I'm excited for the future of the states once we get certain people out of office.
I'm wondering if that's going to happen that quickly. I fear, but we will cross the bridge when we get there.
Indeed. But thank you very much, Flame Flash, for sending us that awesome article, because it's not every day that you get somebody awesome, rad, and endorsed by Chance the Rapper into office.
By whom? Chance.
God, Monica, you don't know who Chance is?
I'm sorry.
You're so out of touch.
I'm so out of touch. But what Amanda said. Our final article for the day. I think that's something that's really close to your heart, isn't it?
This is the most endearing thing in the entire world. So submitted from Tom from Three Extra Lives, and he did talk about this on his show, but we're talking about it here because this is very, very near and dear to my heart. We have talked before about the amazing Skyrim granny, Shirley Curry. She is getting her own NPC. That's like a non-playable character in the next edition of Elder Scrolls, Elder Scrolls 6. So
there is the excitement that I wanted for the Fantastic Beasts one. But now, yeah, You can't have both of two of those in one episode. So let's give it a go for the Elder Scrolls franchise.
Yeah. So Shirley is, there's so many videos about her. She's 82 years old and she's a grandmother. And she started playing and streaming Skyrim to help keep her mind active. And it's awesome, right? So she has gained quite a bit of fame. She goes to conventions. She's pretty well known, right? And to be honored by getting a character in the next Elder Scrolls, I'm like, this is just amazing. It's awesome.
I feel this also goes a bit hand in hand with our episode that we had with Sol, because it's also age representation, right? So it's ageism to always assume that people above a certain age don't do games anymore or don't do certain things anymore, whereas that's not at all the case, as Curry displays perfectly, I feel. So that's super exciting. And I feel also to have people above a certain age range in games as well is also a representation matter, because again, most of the time, all the game characters, they look like what, 20, 25 max?
I will say that that's something that Elder Scrolls franchise does well. They let you age your character in the character creation screen. So you can go from like in your early 20s, late teens, up until like you can put all the wrinkles that you want on your face. Like you can age yourself, age your character. It's something that they have always been very open with.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they're a brilliant franchise.
That's awesome. I had no idea, yeah. But also I don't play that. But that's
so there's a lot of speculation about like what her role is going to be. But we're just going to have to, I know for one, I'm going to be searching for when Elder Scrolls 6 comes out. I'm excited.
You have to, we can talk about this again when it happens.
Mm-hmm. When it happens.
When it happens, not if it happens, it will happen.
It will happen. No, it's just, it's funny because I actually wrote an article about Elder Scrolls 6 almost 2 years ago. And it's, the game's still not out yet, so.
Oh, man. Yeah. But that feels like final touches, doesn't it?
No.
Damn it.
No.
Damn it. But go you, Bethesda.
Yeah, thanks, Bethesda, for being rad. And thank you, Shirley Curly, for being just the greatest.
Awesome. I agree. Cool. So that was it for this week, wasn't it?
Yeah, that is all the news that we have for you this week. So as you know, Geek Herring is part of the awesome Dragon Power Studio Network, which is a whole collaboration of really cool, geeky, and niche podcasts. And we have recently launched a newsletter and would love if you signed up. So you'll get Frasley's little weekly inspiration and then all the episodes from the Dragon Power Studio Network sent right to your inbox every single week. So you can sign up for that over at dragonpowerstudio.com.
So thanks for tuning in this week and see you again next week.
And as always, if you have any news stories to share with us, you just throw them our way on social media.
Bye.
Bye. If you like this episode of Geek Herring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Herring and over on geekherring.com.
This show is brought to you by Dragon Powered Studio. Find more at dragonpoweredstudio.com.